So the question I have for you today is, are you amazed? I'm kind of getting a little bit tired of God giving me sermon material. Yesterday was a great day I was excited for because we were going to do a baptism. For those of you, there are a couple that sits near the back. They just had a baby, and he's the son of a local pastor, but he comes over here about going forward with he and his family. It's really great. We had to do a baptism, and it was wonderful. It was just a great day. I was looking forward to it. We had a gala last night. This is going to be great, but it didn't start out that way, and I'm amazed at what happened. So two things. I wake up in the morning, and I'm coming out, and I've got to go get the dogs their treats because that's how I do things. And as I'm coming into the kitchen, Mark Thomas alerts me that something's wrong. He says, "Ooh, that's not good." So I'm looking at the ground. I'm sure enough, there's water on the floor. And I'm like, "Holy, well, where's that coming from?" So, the first place I look, dishwasher. That's an obvious place. But I noticed that the water came close to the dishwasher, but it didn't reach the dishwasher. So it's not the dishwasher. I'm like, "That's... oh no, it's the refrigerator. It failed, all the ice melted." So I go over to the refrigerator, I'm looking, and now the water kind of comes up to the refrigerator, but not to there. I'm like, I don't understand this. Where else can the water be coming from? And so I was listening, drip, 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 drip. I'm like, where is that? And then I look back at my kitchen table, and water is dripping on my kitchen table. And I'm like, "That's weird. How is it dripping on my kitchen?" I look up, and this is no joke. I have some people that can verify it for you if you want. It looks like my ceiling fan is crying. Literally, there's water coming out of my ceiling fan. Now, this is crazy, right? Isn't it supposed to, kill me, right? Shouldn't my house be, up in flames by now? And I'm looking at it. I'm amazed. How in the world is this even possible? Fan down. I wasn't sure if I should turn off the power to the fan or not. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I turned the power to the fan off. Not that dumb, people. And it was really crazy because as I started taking some of the pieces off, water would just be replaced. They replaced it. Yeah, you'll love this, right? They replaced it with, it's the harder plastic tube. Yes, that's it, Bex. Yeah, because I only knew this because then I'm texting my father-in-law saying, "Robert, help. The roof is great," because he went to Home Depot. "The roof's not supposed to leak." He's like, "Oh, I know exactly what it is." And so we got up there, and it was great because he went to Home Depot and he found all the right parts, and you just cut it and you put a little thing in. And it took all of 5 minutes. But I was amazed that my set, but God was with me this one. We're going to be encountering two people. One specifically, it says that he's amazed. But the other one, man, I have got to believe that he was also amazed. Two people that encounter Jesus as he's going on his journey to the cross. In one instance, it actually says that Pilate is amazed. I think sometimes we hit material like this and we just forget what God is doing. In the past weeks, when we've been watching as the plans have been unraveling for him to death, but they have a problem. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they've condemned him to death, but they have a problem because they're not going to have a charge that's going to be able to be that will stick with Pilate. They come up with a very ingenious, masterfully, and it's fascinating to watch how they do this. And all along, Jesus is masterfully staying in the will of God. Which again is a hard thing to do. It's maybe a little bit more challenging. Things start falling apart, and we're like, "I don't really like this." But is there ever a time where you could say, "Even if everything fell apart in my life, I know I'm going to be okay because God is always in control"? When you get that faith, we all suffer from this paralyzation. When things are bad, we think God is not in control, but God is. He always has been. He always will be. So, Mark 15, verse 1, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. And so, remember, they've already got the fake trial. They've already taken the vote. They've already broken pretty much every rule that they were supposed to make. But it could also be translated, reached a quorum. So, yeah, if you're ever in church politics, we got to make a big decision, but there's not enough people, so you got to call all your friends, get down here, we got to make this vote, Jesus to death, and they've got the plan. They've reached a decision. They made a plan. How are we going to actually do this? So this is what they do. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. He's taking him to Pilate for the very purpose of the fact that only Pilate could give the sentence of death. The Israelite nation, being occupied by Rome, did not have the power of capital punishment. So Pilate to execute him. Now the problem is, history was not on their side. When they would say, yeah, this guy claims to be God, most of the governors and the prefects would just be like, so? So came up with this better plan, and what they're going to do is they're going to use a very specific phrase that this guy claims that he is king of the Jews. Now, using that phraseology is a really, like, now it's in direct conflict to the king of the land, and now you might have a charge that sticks. So that's, they bring him there, it's very early in the morning, and they say to him, Pilate asks, this guy's claiming he's king of the Jews. Verse 2, and so Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. They've done a great job here with the English, but it can be translated a number of ways. It could be translated as, you said it. It was just as you had just spoken it. Or he could have also been in it. Sorry, what he's saying, but what, as you say it is. We're not too sure exactly what he's doing, but what he's saying, but what he is doing is he's putting the onus back onto Pilate to say, you've got to reach it. Understand who I am and what's going on. Again, very much like he does with the rest of us. He did this with Peter a while back. He asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And everyone goes through the litany of people. He comes to Peter and he's like, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Because that's really important. It's not important what other people say. The question is, what do you believe? I mean, it makes no difference. What does matter is what about what I believe for your eternal salvation. What does matter is what do you believe about this? And so I think Jesus is trying to, again, push Pilate a little bit to by this. He does, and so then I think Pilate is nonplussed by this. He doesn't really like this. So verse 3, the chief priests accused him of many things. And so I'm sure they start falsely, a litany of things, a bunch of charges. Now again, if you have ever been accused falsely of doing things, you know, what is your first inclination? I know my first inclination, I've got to somehow redeem myself, put out the fire, but oftentimes we just become professional firefighters, putting out the fires that other people are saying. But they're accusing him over and over and over again. And so again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus still made no right now cry, and Pilate was amazed. Pilate's right now at a crossroads. We don't get it from this gospel, but we know it from other things too. Pilate's wife, whatever you do, don't become responsible for this man's death. Don't get involved in that. That is a very dangerous thing. I've had dreams about this. On the timeline, somewhere in there, his wife tells him this stuff. So now he's struggling. He understands, he's about to say it, he knows the reason why the religious people brought him. They brought him because he hated Jesus. Incredible charisma and power that when he spoke, people listened. And the religious leaders did not have that same authority. So Pilate sees this, and he replied like a normal, they're just jealous. Jesus is not making any reply like a normal human being is supposed to do. He's got his wife saying something, and this, I forgot who said this, but I ripped this off from another pastor who said it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's voice sounds eerily like your wife's voice. Yeah, because usually like, No, that's a good thing. No, that's not a negative thing. That's like, dear God, help me understand some things, and then you come up and you say something, and I go, I get it now. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Like, he doesn't answer me directly straight into my brain, but he gives stuff to you to come and say, honey, do you really think you should use that story in your sermon? That's really not a good story. And I'm like, are you sure? It's really good. Yeah, the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like you. Speak into it. lives so that we can hear a thing, because God gives us other people around us to speak into our lives so that we can hear what he has to say. So Pilate's amazed. Again, when was the last time you were amazed? Jesus had done. When was the last time you thought about what Jesus had done and stopped and went, wow, it's for me. Jesus has done so much for me. Jesus loves me so dearly. Of course, I really wanted to, have you ever stopped to wonder whatever happened to Pilate? So there's two very conflicting stories, but it's still very fascinating. I found it great. There's one, and I did verify this. This end of all of this was, in fact, convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, there's a little bit of that evidence when he writes the little placard that goes above his Jesus Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's where we get the I-N-R-I, those initials. And people come to him and say, no, don't say he is the King of the Jews. Say that he, essentially, almost as close to the answer to that was, what I've written is what I've written. Essentially, almost as close to taking a stand as possible. Well, it has it that he then does a complete conversion into the faith. And even to this day, it'll be fascinating, because I'm going to look for it on my calendar next year. In the Eastern Orthodox Church and in the Coptic Church, he is a saint. Saint Pilate Day on June 25th. Today is June 25th. So I think we got to celebrate Saint Pilate Day on June 25th. That'd be fascinating. So that's one tradition. The other tradition, and this was written by some of the historians, so it's like, which one's with the guilt that he had, that he ended up committing suicide. I mean, those are two pretty radically different stories. Like, how can you be any more different? So some say, he's lost forever. When we get there, like, I'm gonna be searching around for the dude with the cleanest hands, be like, wow, your hands are really clean. Pilate! Wouldn't that be... it makes us understand that when we find ourselves at that crossroads, when we have encountered Christ in such a way that our lives are going to be changed forever, we can either become so done and overwhelmed in the future, and we feel to ourselves there is no hope. And so we do the unthinkable by walking away from Jesus. But there's others, though, that then have. I'm still upset that things that are done, but I trust in Jesus, and I'm amazed at who he is. Because his claims of being the Son of God have borne out. His claims of saying, I'm going to die in 3 days, read some of the other stuff that he's done and come to a conclusion about that. This is Pilate. Now, the problem is, right at this moment, Pilate, I believe, is has the sin of expediency, has the connotation that the choice you're making is easy, is an easier choice to make, probably because it's the wrong choice. We choose faster. So I read your paper in Theology 101, and I realized that some of this may have come, what do? You can go the expedient route, because all you have to do is deny, deny, deny. And if you deny, there's really no proof. It's really going to be hard to prove, and you know that I can, even though it's probably the wrong route. The right route would be to be open, honest, talking about what you have done, and then trusting that when you do the right thing, even when he finds himself, does he make the expedient thing? So he starts by coming up with a better alternative of what he could possibly do. Now, it was the custom at the feast to release them to me. Hey, every time this year, we're going to release someone from jail that you would like to... Like, out of curiosity, is there anyone in jail currently that you'd be like, yeah, I think I'd like to see them back out on the streets. This might be kind of fun, right? And the Jewish people would be like, yeah, well, we want this guy out. But usually it's very dicey, you know, who do you choose? Because if you choose someone who is a zealot and who's also a murderer and a thief and a robber and has killed a bunch of people, maybe just, you know, says a lot of really weird and wacky things. But Pilate is thinking, how can I do the expedient thing? How can I get out of this predicament that I find myself in. That may not be the best path for you. The better path is the path of honesty, the path of righteousness, even if it leads you through some really bad garbage. So he knows that this, who is in prison with the insurrectionists, who had committed murder in the uprising. So he's not just a political, he's a zealot, but he's also a killer. And that's what they would offer clandestine. You can read reports about this. Oftentimes, they would just keep small daggers hidden with them. And then if they found someone they didn't like, they'd just come up behind them, and they would just simply stick the dagger in at the right spot, pull out, walk away. And his name is Barabbas. Does anyone remember his first name? Yes, who said that? Jesus. Oh, good job. See, the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife. Who do you want? Jesus. And then Barabbas. All right, all my Hebrew scholars. See, there we go. Jaden, you had to do that. Sorry, it was the Greek scholars. Yeah. Bar, meaning son. You've got Jesus, son of the Father, versus Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, so you go like, ooh, this is a little tricky. Now, again, I really wish I could have seen what happened. Because there's Barabbas, that he has been told that today is execution day. Today you die. There's three people that have been prepared for execution. Center stage. He was going to be center cross. So he's there, chained up. He's ready to die. I don't know if he's made peace with what he's done. I don't know if he's still. But someone then comes in, says, Barabbas, on your feet. You got to come out. Pilate needs to see you. He's like, why? Well, and be released, or today you die. Well, that's not a very good choice in my estimation. I would rather just go ahead and keep on living. But Barabbas is then brought out. Was it like a Survivor episode? And like Barabbas is like, oh man, vote Jesus off the island. He's really bad, and I'm a good guy. I might have killed a few people, but it's no big deal. But these two people are up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. So he says, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" He's betting that, dude, if you're going to have this one guy who's really like angry, yeah, he overturned some tables once, but no big deal. Or do you want the killer dude released? Pilate's got it. Pilate's choosing the expedient route. Could Pilate at any of time, well, they had gathered, was there at a, yeah, and said, this is dumb, this man goes free, all of you go home now. Yeah, he could have. That was his authority. He had that prerogative. Well, people, listen to me. How do I keep things under control? How do I choose a path that will be right down the middle so that I try not to offend anyone around? He's amazed by him. He's intrigued by him. He knows, in fact, that he is actually innocent because he says so. It's crazy. It was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. And I'm not too sure exactly how he knew that. Did he just, you know, hear the charges and go, this is really stupid? Or, you know, had there been reports? Was a mock sham trial. Verse 11, but the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. Barabbas, do you ever wonder, like, what would be they would have written it? Fantastic storyline of Barabbas if you were going to write it. This is how I would have written it. That he gets released, he realizes that the person that's taking his place right, he essentially now, the cross that was erected for him, this man's going to hang on it. Now again, Barabbas could have, I don't know if they would do that. Like he didn't volunteer his tribute and say, hey, no, that Barabbas, Jesus, because I don't know about, decided to find out a little bit more about this guy named Jesus. Because I don't know about you, I would be intrigued. I mean, see three crosses erected. The middle one was his. And there a man is dying that shouldn't be there. I can ask him. The problem is I don't know correct because there is nothing to deep dive into. You know, you'd start searching that and There is nothing. No historian records anything. It is all gone. And you know what? I'm actually kind of happy about that. Whether the truth is someone died on your behalf, there was a cross that was erected for you because you have not done what God has asked. That I am supposed to face a punishment. This is requirements for getting into heaven are perfection. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so then all of us go, just a sliding scale. And this top group didn't quite make it, but we'll bump them up so that they all get A's and everyone else gets F's. How are we doing this? No, it's really simple. You are disqualified from the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. You didn't reach it. So there really is only one punishment for you, and the cross that was intended for you, the punishment that was supposed to be given to you and to me, was laid on this man named Jesus. Not Jesus Barabbas, the man who willingly laid. There is no plea. There is no Barabbas? This is who you guys are going to let go? Really? There is no pleading for his life. Why? Because he knows. I know it's hard. I know it's a little bit easier when we are studying these portions of Scripture when we're around Lent and more weeks now where we're at. It's really hard. It's hard because I think it hits me a little bit better because I'm usually not used to talking about Lenten stuff at this time of the year, but me. The punishment that was supposed to be on us, he took. And I do wonder if Barabbas walked up to those crosses and looked up, spared the ugliest death that had ever been created. And the question is then, what do you do with that? What's your response? But it's another thing entirely to have your life oriented around that amazing. Some people are going to walk by, see Jesus on a cross, and say, wow, that is amazing that Jesus didn't curse. How is that affecting me in my life now? And it's an easy way to then simply choose an expedient route, which is usually the wrong route, to stand looking at that cross and go, this doesn't make any sense. And exactly right, it does not make any sense. And some people say, he shouldn't have died for Barabbas. And the answer is, yeah, that is correct. He shouldn't have died for Barabbas. Sin, I should pay the price, not someone else. And yeah, that is all correct. But Jesus still did it because of his incredible. Because, again, Pilate's worried. He's worried that everything is getting out of control because he wants these subjects of his, especially these leadership people, to like him. And so in order to satisfy him, Pilate released Barabbas. But if you don't answer for expediency, because as you know anything about flogging, I've spoken about this many times, but if you don't understand flogging, it is brutal. You would be, and soldiers would come with these whips, and inside the whips would be pieces of bone or pieces of rock or lead balls or hooks, and they would whip you. Now, the Jews had a very 40 lashes, and in fact, they were so concerned about that that they would only do actually 39 lashes, because if you ended up going over the amount, then whatever punishment was meant for him would be given. That rule, we actually have evidence. Others have written that after a flogging, most people died. Wouldn't that be expedient, Pilate? It's over there. Jeez. Went a little crazy with the flogging there, didn't you? Another way to skirt the issues. Another way to say, my sin isn't that bad. It's really not my fault. I do that a lot. Whose fault? Just sinned. Ugh! It's my parents' fault. Parents are horrible. I'm a redhead. Do you understand what it means to be a redhead? I tell us, they made me mad, and so I did that. No. Just stop. That's the easy route. The hardest route is to say, I'm responsible. I alluded to this. A lot of people want to put it on Pilate, and I think Pilate did the expedient route. Pilate is definitely responsible in this. Others say it was the religious leaders. But I can tell you definitively who killed Jesus. I did. Because not a sinner, Jesus wouldn't have to die. But he loves me so much and did not want to see me outside of his presence forever that he was willing to die on my behalf. Try to shift the blame if you want. Try to make excuses if you want. That was me. In amazement that Jesus gave his life for you. Let's pray. Father, we hear this story. We know it. We read these stories. We cover this every year when we get around Easter. We cover this, and sometimes I fear that we just end up not really amazed anymore. Yeah, I heard the story. He was whipped. He was flogged. Breathed his last and said, "It is finished." Went. Buried, rose again. Next story. I pray, Lord, today we take what Jesus grace for granted, but instead stand there fully condemned of all the sin we've committed and be amazed. It was fitted per my sin. But Jesus took it instead. Lord, I am amazed by you. In whose name we pray.